Welcome back to the Firestarter Podcast, Episode 2, Season 2 of the program. Ryan Dietrich and Tori Peterson coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And today, a very special guest joining us, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, Mr. Cale MacLean. And Cale, I guess let's get right into it. The Flames kicking off the preseason last night with a pair of games against the Vancouver Canucks, but one here in Calgary where you possibly had the best view of anyone from the bench alongside Bill Peters. Just give us your impressions and what you took away from the Flames' first preseason tilt.
Well, I did have an excellent view, you're right, felt the warmth of the fire a little bit, and certainly was able to, you know, be back there with some really high-level players on the bench. That was pretty exciting from my point of view. Thought that, obviously, the first two periods were excellent. Thought that the guys did a good job of taking a play to Vancouver, and the tides sort of turned a little bit there in the third period. I thought that Vancouver started to move a bit more, and we were a little sloppy with our pucks, and so suddenly what seemed to be a game we were in total control of turned the other way a little bit, and now we found ourselves in one, and it just didn't go our way in the end.
One guy that wasn't here that you're quite familiar with is Matthew Phillips. He was in Victoria last night and turned quite a few heads in his old stomping grounds. He had an assist and quite a few scoring chances. Looking back on his first pro season last year, what did you see from him over the course of that season and how he developed as a player?
Well, I think that he did have a great growth season in terms of when he came in. You know, it took him a little while to get his footing. It took him a little while to sort of establish himself offensively. At no point during that initial phase did his work ethic wane. That's one thing I can really say about Matt. And everyone sees it when you watch him play. He really is excellent in pursuit of the puck. He doesn't stop his feet. He's a player that is really strong positionally, both on the offensive and defensive side. So those underlying principles were there for Matt. But at the same time, he was having trouble just sort of getting his offense going and figuring out how to manage against bigger, stronger bodies at the AHL level. But after about, I think it was about 12 games, and then he started to get on the board a little bit, and then he had an excellent run for almost 30 games where he was about a point a game in that span. And you could see that his, you know, his work ethic and position just started to consistently pay off. And he was able to sort of understand how he could use his stature and his quickness to sort of get inside opponents, maybe wait for the right time to come in and steal pucks and things like that. And so it all started to come together, and I think it ended very positively overall for him, and set him up to have a good summer and hopefully get off to a great start here this year, regardless of where he is.
We spoke to him last week, and we talked about his skating, because it seems like he has taken a big step from junior to pro. Last year, it looked like he had an extra gear. And he talked about his work with Don Braid, his skating coach, in the summers, and how he has had to be patient, because you learn how to skate at a certain age, and that's how you've been skating all your life. So to change it when you're a successful junior player can be difficult. And he spoke about the patience that it required to get to that step. How do you, as a coach, teach patience to players who have had a lot of success at the junior level, but maybe they need some time to really adjust to the pro level?
Yeah, it's a good point, because that's one of the bigger challenges, I think, at the American Hockey League level is, you know, having players come in and they've been very successful doing certain things, and there's certain aspects of the game, namely offensive aspects, that have sort of catapulted them and put them in prominent positions and sort of been there all their lives. And now at the American Hockey League level, or the pro level in general, we're asking them to do much different things and make sure those are taken care of first in terms of defensive responsibilities and work ethic and consistency there. So it is a bit of a difference for some players, but I will say with a player like Matt Phillips, is there's not a question in terms of his sort of consistency, his work ethic, and his care for all aspects of the game. He's very good that way. So there wasn't a lot of adjustment for him or a lot of coaching required. But I think that on the skating side of it, it was the course of, you know, his habits over a few years with Don Braid. And I've talked to him this summer, and I think he felt like after another strong summer and more time with Don, that it's starting to really set in. And so you can see his edges are pretty good. He's able to turn and sort of pick up the pace out of his turns. His straightaway speed is solid. And you can see growth in that skating. So I think it's just a matter of his dedication paying off, and that's great to see for all of us.
It's kind of a good segue, too, because we talk about guys like Matthew Phillips working their way into the mix, and Andrew Mangiapane, who just finished up a skate here, Austin Czarnik and Dylan Dubé both having big nights last night in Victoria. Yeah, you got a swath of PTOs here looking to make an impression, too. It just feels like, maybe even more than there have been in previous years here, that the competition level, especially on those depth roles, is really high. What does it take for all those guys to really stand out among your peer group when there are so many guys that are actually having strong performances like they have been here early in camp?
Yeah, good point. I think that it's a fine line to walk between, you know, playing the way you need to play and being really responsible and making sure you stick to the principles that the Flames want to see in every shift. When I say that, the coaching staff led by Bill Peters, like they're very specific in the style of hockey that we want to play as a part of the Calgary Flames. But at the same time, you've got to find a way to bring what you do best to the table and help, you know, make you stand above the rest of the pack. So you got to be smart, you got to be fully engaged and fully aware in order to be to well execute what Bill is asking. And at the same time, you got to find a way to bring that extra energy and that engagement that is going to push you over the edge. And I think some guys have done a good job of that so far, and other guys are doing okay, but there's you know, that consistent ability to perform at a high level, which is really going to help you rise above the rest over the course of 3, 4, 6, 8 games here leading up to the season.
I feel like I actually missed a key name there, because Glenn Gauden, time we watch him, has been impressive. And you talk to guys around here, it just feels like he's not going to be denied in one way or another, whether it's now or a year or 2 years from now, he's going to get his chance just based on the fact that he's such a cerebral player. I mean, and kind of like Matthew Phillips, he got his first taste through the full first season at the pro level last year. I mean, how did you see him take that step or the progression from start to finish to now into his second pro camp?
I think that he progressed very well. I will give him credit. He showed a lot of good hockey sense early last year in camp here, and coming down to Stockton early there, he showed some reliability and some hockey sense. He made some steps along the way in terms of his defensive reliability, and over the course of the year, he found himself in prominent penalty kill positions. He earned his way onto a lot of power play time and executed well. As you say, that cerebralness, like he can see and execute offensive plays quite well. And at the same time, you can rely on him for a big defensive draw, and you can rely on him for a key penalty kill. So as a first-year guy, that was pretty big for Glenn and excellent to see for the organization. Now it's a matter of, can he take a step here and make sure that he's equally and even more engaged defensively, more reliable defensively, so he can actually lock things down against top lines? And then at the same time, can he mix that in with consistent offensive production? And that's always the trick for young men here. When you get into this level, you have a strong freshman season. Now, as a sophomore, you want to see if you can raise your totals and you can sort of get offensive production, try to catch the eye of management up top. And I think the real key is to stay humble, to work hard, understand that, yes, offensive production is important, but it can't come at the cost of defensive reliability, because when you move up, that's what you're going to be counted on, to be defensive. You've got to earn your ice through trust from the coaches. So you want to be offensively consistent, but you can't lose that defensive reliability.
Two guys who are turning pro this year are Martin Pospisil and Adam Rzeczka. You've seen them over the last couple of years and how they've developed through junior and now heading into pro. What are you expecting out of them as they make this transition? Because they're two guys who have a really unique skill set and can bring a lot to a lineup.
Yeah, I think that they've got some excellent qualities. They're exciting. They're both big bodies, and now they're a little different player each respectively. But at the same time, they are guys that we feel can be impact players right off the bat. You know, they're going to have to earn those opportunities. And as we just talked about, just as someone were moving up to the NHL when they're moving into the American Hockey League, it's about trust and it's about learning to play the right way and learning to work away from the puck and learning how to be defensively reliable. And then having done that, getting your offensive opportunities from increased ice time and offensive situations. So I think both, you know, let's break them apart and look at Adam, you know, with his size, his skating ability, his hands down the middle. He looks like he's really smooth. He's gonna have to work on playing in the defensive zone, understanding how to properly layer and have good coverage down low and how to win those battles, and certainly utilize his huge frame that he has. And that's going to create a lot of offense for him because he's going to have the puck more. Martin, on the other hand, is a battle-prone type of player. Like, he loves to jump into it. He loves to get involved. And he, you know, whether he plays more wing or center will remain to be seen. But I think the aspect of him is, you know, making sure that he understands the structure away from the puck and is able to, you know, utilize his energy and his ability to sort of, like, get inside the game and stir the game and sort of do that while not spending too much time in the penalty box, because he's not going to help anyone in there. He's got to learn to harness it in the correct way.
For fans, the preseason is often about watching these kind of prospects who are turning pro or some new players on the team. But for you as a head coach in Stockton, how much does the preseason mean to get a read on new guys who are on AHL contracts, like a Jeremy McKenna or a Robert Hamilton? What does this type of action do for you as you evaluate talent?
It's great because it does. It is, when you look at you know, especially early preseason games, you know, I don't want to make a direct comparison, but we're certainly at the AHL level not playing at NHL pace. But when you start to look at early preseason games, there's a lot of AHL players in those games. And so you can now see some AHL contracted players against high level AHL or NHL competition. And it gives you the ability to sort of size them up a little bit. And early in this sequence, when a team's foundation might not be totally laid, you also put guys in situations where they're going to have to show their hockey sense, because they might not have a solution for every situation. We might not have gotten there yet in terms of the plan that we're going over. It's one step at a time. And so then you get a chance to just see what a guy will do in certain situations when he's got to make a read where it's, you know, it's something that might not be a predestined play. So getting good looks at, you know, Rob Hamilton, who we know really well from last year, but I thought he showed very well last night. And obviously on D, you've got Schooneman, who again was with us for a brief time, and then up front, as you mentioned, McKenna. And there's lots of players. I won't go through them all, but the McKennas and those players, or Zach Leslie, they're guys that we're getting to know more right now. We're just learning a little bit about them, so it's great to watch them play in this scenario.
Obviously, at the AHL level, there's often a lot of turnover from year to year, whether it's graduating players or, like you said, bringing in guys late in the previous season. And obviously, looking forward to this year, a common thread would be it's going to be another young team in Stockton this year. But I know that as a coach, you always want to win, right? But what is the balance, if there is one, between winning and developing? And how do you strike that or communicate with your players when you're trying to accomplish both?
Well, I think that you want to be honest about it. And the overarching sort of theory is that winning is great development. The only aspect of that is you want to make sure that you give your younger players a chance to contribute to that winning as well. And so it's not about just playing older players and trying to rack up the wins, but it's about having older players that are key players, but also are willing to be good team players and help bring those younger players along. And that'll make a better team for when you get, you know, in positions where these guys can move up, or they grab hold of certain aspects of the game and are able to execute. They've got support from the older guys. And I think that the bottom line is we want to create an environment that while it pushes players to play their best, and that's going to obviously work on merit. And at the same time, we've got these young players that are developing, and we're going to hopefully surround them with good quality veteran players that can sort of bring them along and help, you know, maybe increase the time frame or shorten the time frame on how that we can apply that merit principle and get these guys into positions where they have confidence and they feel like they're contributing members of a strong AHL team.
And speaking of development, this is your second season in the head role with Stockton. So, I mean, for you, I mean, almost 10 years at, you know, coaching in these ranks, but, you know, this is a big step for you personally as well. How have you developed as a coach over the last 2 years especially? And, of course, considering that this training camp's been very different with the team not in China, obviously that threw a different wrinkle last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think this has been great. I feel like last year I learned a lot in my first year as a head coach at the AHL level. I felt like I grew a lot. I made mistakes. I did some things well, and there's lots of things that I'd like to take and move forward with going into this year. But as you mentioned, one of the best things about this camp is just having the Calgary staff here and to be able to sit with them on a daily basis and understand what they're looking at, whether it's Bill Peters or Ryan Huska or Jeff Ward, Marty Jelena, even from Jamie Pringle's point of view and Jordan Sigalette with the goaltenders. It's just it really helps us as a staff in Stockton to get an excellent feel of not only what the Calgary Flames are looking for in terms of their play, but also in terms of just how they see the game. And we all know Bill Peters is an excellent coach. And so to be able to sit with him and just sort of view the game through his eyes, whether it was last night behind the bench or whether it's this morning as we're going over our game last night and the Victoria, you know, chances and power plays and penalty kills, it's just great to be able to soak that in. So I think the development has been strong over the first year, but this last 3 weeks, it's been excellent. It's been great and feel very fortunate to be able to be here and take it in.
Finally, last year you guys did not make the playoffs, but there was a ton of positives to take from that young crew. For you personally, what do you want this group to build off of last year as they head into this season?
Well, I think that we did have some good involvement from a lot of players, and that's something I think that is important. We're trying to create a team that plays with the pace and the compete of the Calgary Flames. And again, we got a really good sense of that over this last couple of weeks here. And we want to make sure we build forward with that mentality of if you're going to play with that pace and compete, you've got to have a lot of lines that can hop the boards and go and go hard and maintain that sort of rhythm of play. And so I think we want to jump on that. And you take the young men that we had have great starts to their careers. Last year, you got a new crop coming in. You've had guys join us. And so I think we want to just move them forward a step, but continue to increase the structure and the pace of play to match the Calgary Flames. That was our goal last year too, but I feel 1 year in and 1 year under Bill Peters' system, I feel like we're in a better position to get that going in from an even stronger vantage point this October coming up. So that's an exciting prospect for us.
Awesome, Cale. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you joining us here today. And safe travels back to Stockton. We look forward to what should be a very exciting season with the Heat and obviously here with the Flames as well. And fans, stay tuned. We'll be back next week for episode 3 of the Firestarter Podcast.